If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. We're going to work our way down to the beginning of John chapter 16. And if you're just joining us today, we would like to say welcome to you. We're so glad that you've chosen to come and to worship alongside us today. What we are doing here as a church is we are working our way through what we call expositionally through the book of John. And today, we are landing on John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. Church tradition tells us that most, if not all, of the disciples of Jesus were martyred for their faith. Historians tell us that there is a high probability that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome, as church tradition has formerly spoken of throughout the years. That Paul was beheaded in Rome. That James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. And that James, the brother of Jesus, was stoned to death. And there is a good chance that the rest of the disciples faced similar fates as well. And church family, Jesus told the disciples that these things were going to happen to them. You see, before Jesus went to the cross, he spends the night before teaching his disciples how they are to live and what to expect after he ascended to the Father. And as a part of this, as he is teaching them how they are to live and what to expect as he is getting ready to go to the cross and then ultimately to ascend to the Father, he tells them, because you are my followers, he says, the world is going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to kill you. And point number one is this. We see in this text, because the world does not know God, the world hates God's children. Because the world does not know God, the world hates God's children. Look at verses 18 and 19 again with me, where Jesus says, if the world hates you, again, he's speaking to his disciples. Know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And as we read this text this morning, we will see that Jesus says the word world 6 different times. And this word world that Jesus uses here is referring to non-believers. Those who have not put their faith and their trust in God. Those who are in active rebellion against God. And notice what Jesus says to his disciples. He says to them, he says, I chose you out of the world. I chose you out of the world. And after reading these words, it begs this question. What does this mean? What does this mean to be chosen out of the world? This is a clear biblical teaching, church family, that when a person becomes a Christian, that they are no longer of this earth. They are called out of the world. You see, to be called out of the world means that earth is not your home. You are just a pilgrim that is passing through the earth. To be called out of the world means that your citizenship is in heaven. To be called out of the world means that your passport now is a heavenly passport. It is no longer an earthly passport. It is a heavenly passport. To be called out of the world means that your loyalty is no longer to this world. Your loyalty is to Christ alone. And to be called out of this world, church family, it should change our mindset on everything. Knowing that we are chosen out of this world, that our loyalty is to Christ alone, that earth is not our home, that we are just passing through, that our citizenship is in heaven. Church family, this should change how we live, and this should change all of our priorities. It's why the Apostle Paul said or wrote down in Colossians chapter 3, he wrote this, if then you have been raised with Christ, we could say it like this, if then you have been chosen out of this world, he says this, therefore because of that, He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. In other words, Paul is saying, because Christ has called believers out of the world, believers are to set their priorities on what ultimately glorifies God. Essentially, Paul is saying to believers in context, he's essentially saying, do not think like the world thinks. Do not set your focus or your heart on worldly teachings. Do not listen to the teachings of the culture. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. Focus your heart and focus your mind and focus your attention on the heavenly. And it begs this question, how do we do this? How do we seek the things that are above, knowing that we have been chosen out of the world? How do we set our mind on things that are above? Here's how. Number one, by having an eternal perspective and living in light of that eternity. Also, by centering my life and focusing my life on the things of God, on things that matter for all of eternity. One theologian wrote down by the name of Douglas Moo, he says about this passage of Scripture, he says, believers seek the things above. How? By deliberately and daily committing themselves to the values of the heavenly kingdom and living out those values. He says, they must reflect the values of the kingdom that Christ has inaugurated. Anything else or less is no more than worldly thinking. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen race. Again, we can say it like this. You have been chosen out of the world. You have been called out of the world. He says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. And then he says, here is why. Here is why. Here is why you have been chosen out of the world. Here's why you've been made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that are His, a people that are His own possession. Here is why, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, church family, we have been chosen out of this world to proclaim the excellencies of God. We have been chosen out of this world to glorify God, to make much of His name. And then notice again what Jesus says. He says, I chose you, or I called you out of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. And then notice what He says. He says, therefore what? Therefore the world hates you. It's not what you were expecting, right? I called you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And again, He's speaking to His disciples. And it ultimately comes down to us as well. But the disciples, they would go on to experience this. They would go on to experience extreme hate and animosity towards them. Why? Simply because they associated themselves with Jesus. Simply because they were followers of Jesus. And the book of Acts, if you go on and you read the book of Acts, it tells us about the hatred that the disciples suffered, all for the name of Jesus Christ. And church family, the principle that is being taught here is very clear. Here is the principle. It's this, that the world, those who are not yet believers in Christ, the world, those who are opposed to God, hates Christ followers. That's the principle that is being taught here in church family. I understand. We may not experience hatred on a daily basis, but this is not the case for most Christians across the world. It's not the case for most Christians across the world. I listed in your outline that was provided for you in your bulletin this morning, there is a website called persecution.com. And I would encourage you to go into this afternoon or sometime this week, jump on your computer or your phone and to go to that website. It is an actual website where people work tirelessly, full time, and they keep up with persecution around the world, almost giving almost even sometimes daily updates about things that are happening around the world. And I would encourage you just to go to that website And to see what believers, just like you and I, are facing all around the world on a daily basis because of their faith. Go and check that website out. But in countries like Afghanistan, countries like even North Korea or Somalia or Libya, Yemen, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran, and India. And these are just to name a few of those countries. But in countries like these, all across the world, it is illegal to be a Christian. It is illegal to do what we are doing in this place today with the Word of God. In countries like the ones I just listed off, if they were to catch us doing these things, they would take us and they would beat us, try to kill us, throw us in camps for not telling how long, simply because we are associating ourselves with Jesus Christ. And I understand that we may not experience this type of hatred on a daily basis for being a Christian. But more and more, church family, the world is becoming hostile towards Christians in America. Specifically for what we believe. And you may have already experienced this. You may have already experienced this in your own family, or your own workplaces, or your own relationships. And I believe in the future that this is how we're going to see this play out ultimately. We're going to see this play out moving forward in this culture that is turning its back on Christ more and more every day. We're going to really see this play out among our relationships, in our families, even in our workplaces. You see, there are many cultural issues going on today that are directly opposed to Christian values. And guess what? As Jesus said, Christians are hated for it, right? Christians are hated for it. There are many cultural issues that are going on today that are directly opposed to Christian values, and we are hated for it. Things like this. We believe that Jesus is the exclusive way to the Father in heaven. Amen? We believe that Jesus is the exclusive way to the Father in heaven. That you cannot have your sin forgiven. That you cannot get to heaven. That you cannot even have a relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. We believe this, and this belief, it goes against what the culture believes. What else? These cultural hot topic issues that are going on. Even as we speak this morning, we believe that same-sex relationships are sin. And that biblical marriage is reserved for one man and for one woman. And this belief goes against what the culture believes. We believe that abortion is murder. And that it disrupts the plan of God. And this belief, it goes against what the culture believes. We believe that God created only two genders. Male and female, and that one cannot pick and choose their gender. And for believing these ways about these hot topic cultural issues, as Jesus said, Christians are hated. So we are experiencing it. And more, the more we move forward in this post-Christian society and world, the more and more we're going to experience it. D.A. Carson spells this out very well in his commentary in the book of John. He says, "The world is a society of rebels and therefore finds it hard to tolerate those who are in joyful allegiance to the King to whom all loyalty is due. Former rebels who have by the grace of the King been won back to loving allegiance to their rightful monarch are not likely to prove popular with those who persist in rebellion." Keep moving down, look at verse 20. He says, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is this. If he was hated and persecuted, why should Christians expect anything different? He's saying, if they don't listen to and keep my word, Why would you expect them to listen to and adhere to what you have to say? Verse 21. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. And church family, this is why Christians are ultimately hated and persecuted. Why? Because the world does not know God as revealed by Jesus Christ. That's why the world responds in this way to what Christians believe. Ultimately, because the world does not know God. And Jesus also says, to hate and persecute a Christian is ultimately to hate and persecute Jesus himself. As he says, all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. And it begs this question, what sin is Jesus talking about here? In context, ultimately, he is talking about the sin of rejecting him. And the people Jesus are referring to here, he's referring to his own people. You see, Jesus proved that he was the Messiah by his works. He proved that he was the Messiah by his miracles and his divine statements. And his own people saw all of these things, and his own people rejected him. You see, church family, the greatest sin of all is to reject Jesus, the only way that one can have their sin forgiven. D.A. Carson also says about this passage of Scripture, he writes, the pagan queen of Sheba and the ancient city of Nineveh come off better than Jesus' favored hearers. Why? Because they responded positively to the light that was given to them. Therefore, today, please know that if you reject Jesus, you are rejecting the only way that you can have your sin forgiven. There is no other way. There is no other way. Look at verses 23 through 25. Jesus says, again, whoever hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. In this last verse that Jesus uses in verse 25, this is more than likely a reference to Psalm 69:4, where King David wrote in Psalm 69:4, more in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. And Jesus, he is applying this scripture to himself as Jesus came from David's lineage, and as Jesus was the greater David. In other words, Jesus is saying, if people hated David, how much more would they hate me? If people hated David, how much more would they hate Jesus? And church family, if they hated Jesus, the perfect Son of God, why would we expect anything different as we follow Jesus and His ways? Why would we expect anything different? That's what Jesus is essentially saying here. As you live your life in this world, and you come up against those who are opposed to the things of God, why would you expect anything different? As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're going to suffer in some shape or form or fashion because you associate yourself with Jesus Christ. Next, we see in this passage of Scripture a very encouraging word. Jesus says, again, you're going to be hated because of your association with me. As you live out your life for Jesus Christ, it's going to come up against the values of the world. But we see in this text next that the Spirit of God empowers believers to live for Jesus and bear witness about Him in a world that is against them. The Spirit of God empowers believers to live for Jesus and bear witness about Him in a world that is against them. Look at verses 26 and 27. Again, so Jesus says, the world's going to hate you, all right? There's going to be this conflict in the world as you live out your life following Jesus Christ. But then notice what He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus uses this word, the Helper. The Helper. And the Helper that Jesus is referring to here is the promise of His Spirit that would come to His disciples. And this was a promise that was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. If you remember, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told them, He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that promise was fulfilled in the Spirit of Christ came, and the disciples were empowered by the Spirit to bear witness for the name of Jesus in the face of hostility and also in the face of hatred towards them. And again, we see this all throughout the book of Acts. I love that song called The Same Power by Jeremy Camp. And the chorus reads like this: the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Lives in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. John will go on to write in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. He goes on to write, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, church family, the power of the Holy Spirit that was imparted to the disciples to bear witness about Jesus is the exact same power given to believers today. In a world that hates Christians, the Spirit of God empowers believers today to bear witness about Jesus Christ, even in the face of hostility, even in the face of hatred. So, believer, what does this mean for you today? What does this mean for me today? It means this, that the greatest power ever known to mankind, the power of Christ's Spirit, is dwelling inside of you. Isn't that an amazing thought to think about? The power of Christ's Spirit, the greatest power ever known to mankind, is dwelling inside of you. What does this mean? This means that you can stand upon God's truth with boldness. Why? Because you are empowered by the Spirit of God to do so. This means that you have nothing or no one to fear. Why? Because the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, empowering you. This means that whenever you are hated, this means that whenever you are looked down upon, this means that whenever you are possibly even made fun of because of your belief in God's Word, the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, empowering you to bear witness for Jesus Christ. Next point. Based on the text and based on what Jesus says, believers should prepare for and expect the world to be hostile towards them. Believers should prepare for and expect the world to be hostile towards them. Move down into chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. And church family, this is a warning from Jesus to His disciples. And guess what, church family? It's also a warning for us. It's also a warning for us today in 2023. Again, He says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. And this points us back to everything that Jesus has said thus far. Again, thus far He has said, you're going to be hated because of me. You're going to be persecuted. The world is going to be against you. There is going to be conflict with you, Christian, against the world. Therefore, what He is saying essentially in verse 1 is this: because of this, of these truths, that you're going to be hated because of me, that you're going to be persecuted, that the world is going to be against you, because of this, He's essentially warning them. He's essentially warning us, saying this: be ready for it. Be ready. He's saying, don't be surprised by it. It's coming. Don't let it catch you off guard. It is going to happen. And then notice what Jesus says is coming for his for the disciples. Number one, he says this. It's coming for you. He says, they will put you out of the synagogues. And you might think, well, what's the big deal about that? We need to understand that being put out of the synagogue during this time period, it was huge. It was a big deal. As one pastor writes, he says, to be cast out of the synagogue was a big deal. It meant more than losing your church. It meant being kicked out of your community. Your identity would be erased. Your future plans all shattered. You could not marry a girl from the community. Any children you had would be outcasts. Your family would consider you dead. They would throw you a funeral for you and mourn over you. You would be a man without a family or a country. For a Jew, being kicked out of the synagogue would be a fate worse than death. And this is what Jesus said was coming for the disciples because of their association with him. And we would say it like this today. We would say it like this today. Because of your association with Jesus and belief in his word, there is a chance that you might get put out of your social club. Because of your association with Jesus and belief in his word, there is a chance that you might lose some friendships. Because of your association with Jesus and belief in his word, there is a chance that some of your family members might disassociate with you. And maybe many of you in this place have already experienced that. There is this conflict. There is this divide because you are standing upon the truth of God's word in your household. And there are others in your household that simply do not believe the exact same thing that you believe. We would say it like this. Because of your association with Jesus and belief in his word in 2023, there's a chance that you might even lose your job. Guess what? That's okay. My God will provide for everything that you need. Because of your association with Jesus and belief in his word, there is a chance today that you might even lose some business opportunity. And again, what Jesus is saying, believers should prepare for and expect the world to be hostile towards them as they live out and stand upon the amazing word of God. So he says, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Be prepared for it. Number two, he says this. Look at the rest of verse 2. He says, indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And this was embodied by Saul. Remember Saul? Before he was saved and his name was changed to Paul, he killed and murdered Christians, thinking that he was offering some sort of service to God and church family. This is still going on today. This is still going on today. Every single day, Christians across the world are murdered for their faith. And those murdering Christians believe that they are offering some sort of service to God. And again, notice why they do these things. Jesus says this twice in this passage of Scripture. He says, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They do these things ultimately because they do not know God. And to not know God is to be controlled by Satan. And Satan's ultimate goal is death. Verse 4, the beginning of verse 4, Jesus again, he says, but I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And again, this is a warning from Jesus. It's a warning from Jesus to his disciples, and it's ultimately a warning from Jesus to all believers today, that when hostility comes, when persecution comes, remember what Jesus said. That these things were going to happen. Again, because the world does not know God, the world hates God's children. But we can stand upon this promise that the Spirit of God empowers believers to live for Jesus and bear witness about Him in a world that is against them. And then lastly, believers should prepare for and expect the world to be hostile towards them. So in closing this morning, I just want to give us just a few things just to be reminded of today. A few application points. A few just things to take away from this place today. Number one, as we are living our lives, doing the best that we can in the name of Jesus Christ, for the name of Jesus Christ in this world, that every single day more and more is turning its back on the things of God as we are living our lives. Number one, continue to do this. Number one, depend on the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. You see, church family, you cannot stand for Christ in your own power. I cannot stand for Christ in my own power. It's only by the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of me. It's only by the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of you. Therefore, depend on the Spirit of God that is empowering you to live out the gospel, that is empowering you to live for Jesus Christ. Number two, we would say this, depend on each other. Depend on each other. You see, I need you as I'm living out this Christian life, as I am doing my best to stand upon the Word of God in a world that is hostile towards the beliefs of the Bible. I need the Spirit of God, and at the same time, I need you, church family. You need me. You need me. We need each other. Depend on each other. It's exactly why the writer of Hebrews wrote down these words. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, you've heard these words, but it's why he wrote them down. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." We could say it like this, stand upon the Word of God. Stand upon the truths of the Word of God without giving in. Without giving in to the culture. Without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. And then he says, this is how we can do it. This is how we can hold fast our confession. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Here's how. By not neglecting to meet together. You see, something amazing happens when the church body gathers together and meets. It encourages us. It helps us to stand upon the truths of the Word of God. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. But here's what happens whenever we meet together. He says, but encouraging one another. It encourages us to stand for the things of God whenever we meet together. It strengthens us. It strengthens each other. It encourages us. Encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So how can we do this? We depend on the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, and we depend on each other. We need each other, right? We need each other. Number three, how else? What else do we do? Stand upon God's Word. Do not fear. Do not fear. We have nothing to fear in this life, right? Therefore, whenever I believe something that's in the Word of God, and it goes against what a coworker might believe, or a family member, or a neighbor. Listen, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear because the Spirit of God is empowering me. Stand upon God's Word. Do not fear. Number four, pray for those around the world who are persecuted for their faith. Pray for those around the world who are persecuted for their faith. One of the amazing things about going on a foreign mission trip is that whenever you go on these foreign mission trips, one thing that you come to realize is this, is that people on the other side of the world, they're just like you and I. They are just like you and I. They have the same hopes, needs, dreams, and aspirations, the same desires that you and I have for our families and for our children are the exact same desires that they have for their families, and for their children as well. They are no different than you and I. And yet many around the world, just like you and I, many of them are today being drug out of meeting places. They're being drug out of homes. Many of them are even in jail. They're in prison camps for the rest of their life. They have been sentenced to prison camps for the rest of their lives simply for owning a Bible. And they're just like you and I. Therefore, may we be people today who are praying for our brothers and sisters around the world who have been persecuted for their faith. Next, as we stand upon the Word of God, as we live out our faith, do everything in love. Do everything in love. You know, we can stand upon the Word of God without doing it in a mean way or a hateful way. We're called to love. So therefore, we do everything in love. And lastly, be reminded today We are called to live like our citizenship is in heaven. Why? Because you have been called out of the world. You've been called out of the world. Your passport no longer has earth stamped on it. Your passport now is a heavenly passport. Therefore, we live like our citizenship is in heaven. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?